The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Mike Edwards with another edition of the Armchair Traveler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And on today's program, I'm going to be reading to you from AAA Go Magazine and National Geographic Traveler. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, let me remind you that neither the Triangle Radio Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Every year, many golfing aficionados travel either by plane or car, or maybe train or electronic media, to Augusta, Georgia, to enjoy the annual Masters Golf Tournament, perhaps the most prestigious of all the U.S.-based tournaments. What many people may not know is that Augusta and its sister community, North Augusta, have much to offer beyond just a famous golf course. Writer Vanessa Enfanzon provides a tour in her article, A Tale of Two Cities, North Augusta and Augusta, in the May-June 2019 issue of AAA Go Magazine. As the editor's introduction states, although the Savannah River separates North Augusta, South Carolina, and Augusta, Georgia, they work in tandem for a great day adventure or a weekend getaway. So now let's check out A Tale of Two Cities. First, North Augusta, South Carolina. The charming town of North Augusta is just across the Savannah River from Augusta by way of 13th Street. The street changes names to Georgia Avenue and opens to a walkable downtown with shops and restaurants. A quick bite at your pie, Gary's Hamburgers, Snowcap Drive-In, or Danielson's Cafe will keep you fueled. Treat yourself to a malt, float, shake, banana split, or hand-dipped ice cream cone at the Pink Dipper, an old-fashioned ice cream parlor. Pick up handmade chocolates at Impressions of the South, Gifts and Women's Clothing at High Cotton Downtown, or handcrafted art at the Arts and Heritage Center gift shop. Several other shops offer gifts, wine, and jewelry. Visit Riverside Village for several activities and attractions. The North Augusta Greenway, named for former Mayor Thomas W. Green, is perfect for walking, biking, or jogging. The 7-mile paved trail offers views of the Savannah River, a 180-foot pedestrian bridge, and a 90-foot flatbed rail car that serves as a bridge across a creek. While in Riverside, see the Augusta Greenjackets play in their award-winning ballpark, the SRP Park. It was named Ballpark of the Year by Ballpark Digest 2018 and BaseballParks.com in its first year. The team is the Class A affiliate for the San Francisco Giants. Take a 10-minute walk on the Greenway and head to Hammond's Ferry, a quaint neighborhood with colorful homes, beautiful gardens, and tree-lined streets. Manuel's Bread Cafe's outdoor patio offers a view of the neighborhood while sampling sandwiches, homemade desserts, and a cocktail. North Augusta's Rosemary Inn and Lookaway Inn offer a bed and breakfast experience in Southern Mansions. The brand new Crown Plaza North Augusta in Riverside Village offers traditional accommodations. Its on-site restaurant, the Salt and Marrow Kitchen, features grill works, an artisanal grill, and Southern Heritage menu items such as oysters, seafood, and grits. Now on to Augusta, Georgia. Named for the Princess Augusta of Wales, the city has been the state capital of Georgia twice, home to the Augusta National Golf Club since 1933, and the stomping grounds for James Brown, the godfather of soul. Visit the Augusta Museum of History for more details on the city's past. Start with a tour of downtown Augusta using the walking map found free at local shops, hotels, restaurants, or Augusta & Company at 1010 Broad Street. Follow the trail for photo ops of the James Brown statue, an area designed by architect I.M. Pei, the Augusta Commons, and the Signers Monument. Scroll down the Riverwalk for views of the Savannah River, and take time to stop by the exhibits at Morris Museum of Art and the Gertrude Herbert Institute of Art. Hop on a Petersburg boat at the Augusta Canal National Heritage Area. One-hour guided tours highlight historic textile factories, mill houses, and landmarks that shaped the city of Augusta from the days of the Civil War. Get a front-row seat of plants and wildlife and perhaps spot an alligator. Learn how the community saved a bridge on the canal with the slogan, "Save Our Butt." Spoiler, the bridge is named for Augusta-born Major Archibald Butt, who went down with the Titanic after leading women and children to lifeboats. There are plenty of places to recharge. The New Moon Cafe in downtown features paninis, sandwiches, wraps, soups, and salads. Head to Abel Brown with reservations for tasty dishes such as the Johnny Cake and the bacon-crusted salmon. Drink like a local and order Savannah River Brewing Company's No Jacket Required. Augusta Marriott at the Convention Center offers guest accommodations within walking distance of downtown's amenities. The on-property restaurant, Agostino's, features Italian cuisine such as shrimp and Italian grits and creamy Tuscan chicken. Just 15 minutes from downtown Augusta is the Finese Swamp and Nature Park. Explore the park and keep watch for frogs, beavers, and otters. For organized activities, sign up for a full moon hike, bird or migration walk, bike tour, or an adult class. Well, whether it's a dining experience, art tour, nature adventure, or history lesson, these two cities along the Savannah River offer something for all types of travelers. Well, from the border towns of Augusta and North Augusta, we're going to head to one of America's great metropolises, Chicago, which is featured in the City Guide section of the April-May 2019 issue of National Geographic Traveler. Writer and editor Elaine Glusek leads our tour, and you may ask, well, why go now? Well, the editors say discover dog-friendly hotels, smoke-swirling cocktails, and the world's largest digital art display among the many reasons for checking out the Windy City. Coined in the 1830s, Chicago's Latin motto, Urbs in Orto, City in a Garden, anticipated the green movement by more than a century. Since then, Chicago has accelerated the pace of environmental innovation, building some 300 miles of bike trails, installing green roofs on buildings like City Hall, and creating the 24.5-acre Millennium Park atop a parking garage. Public art and architecture have long been at the heart of Chicago's cultural appeal, and the two now merge for Art on the Mart, a new digital projection across 2.5 acres of edifice. The city's culinary trailblazers fuel cultural exploration and create their own enticing food-focused circuit. Chicago has surprising beauty, and the people are very comfortable with where they live, says David Manilow, a Chicago native and the creator of Restaurant Review show Check Please. It's a city where you'll be allowed to be yourself. So let's check out more. Now we break it down into some categories. The first one is Knowing Chicago. Global Goes Local is the subtitle. Chicago's craft breweries look to the world for fermentation inspiration. Corner taverns common in Chicago are known for the old-style beer signs that often hang out front. But these days, many residents do their drinking in the craft beer tap rooms that have bubbled up with such frequency that the Brewers Association recently found Chicago to be the nation's center of craft brewing, home to 167 breweries more than any other U.S. city. Forget those hyped and hoppy IPAs. Brewmasters here have brought global varieties home. In Ravenswood, Dovetail Brewery specializes in rich Belgian and German styles. In Logan Square, Bixie Beer incorporates ingredients such as Szechuan peppercorns and green cardamom to align with its Asian-accented cuisine. Nearby, Maplewood Brewery and Distillery mix it up by creating cocktails with both house brews and spirits. Cruz Blanca Brewery and Taqueria in the West Loop, part of Chef Rick Bayless's restaurant empire, channels a sunny Mexican spirit. Neighborhood pride has bolstered the craft breweries, most of which sit far from downtown's financial center. The definition of local used to be from Chicago, says Manny Valdez, Bayless's partner in Cruz Blanca. Now it's what block are you on? The neighborhood supports you. And if staying in the Windy City, they offer some examples of trendy, new, and classic. In the trendy category, Chicago Athletic Association Hotel, built to impress travelers attending the 1893 Columbian Exposition. The Venetian-inspired Chicago Athletic Association features massive stone fireplaces and leaded glass windows. Restored and reopened as a hotel in 2015, the Millennium Park facing landmark doubles as a social center for locals keen on its conservatory rooftop bar. And then there's Cindy's retro game room and 8-seat speakeasy milk room specializing in vintage spirits. Then we move on to the new version, and that's the St. James Chicago. In the Art Deco Carbide and Carbon Building, this 365-room newcomer honors its namesake, social activist Jane Addams, by donating a portion of the proceeds to charity. The building's shape recalls that of a champagne bottle, so it's fitting that Restaurant Free Rain feeds the fizz with DJs, live music, and crowd-friendly seafood towers. And then on to the classic version, that's the Intercontinental Chicago Magnificent Mile. Location meets lore in this 1929 Michigan Avenue classic, originally the Medina Athletic Club, as revealed in its marble and tile swimming pool. Michael Jordan's Steakhouse, backed by the basketball great, frames views of columns and coffered ceilings. The hotel will even pack you a picnic for urban exploration. Next category is what to eat in Chicago, tradition and trend, and dig into deep dish, but also try innovative bites and sips, say the editors. And they have about four different categories here for us to review. Foodie Headquarters is number one. The city officially counts 77 communities, but many adventurous chefs have settled in Logan Square, opening a slew of casual, cutting-edge, and indie restaurants. The eclectic Lulu Cafe helped pioneer the farm-to-table trend here 20 years ago and still serves area creatives morning, noon, and night. Newer destination dining rooms include Mi Tocaya Antojiera, where chef Diana Davila pays inventive homage to her Mexican heritage, Fat Rice, and plating the fusion food of Macau and the tiny but mighty giant with Midwest Meats World Fair. Then on to the Hall Pass category, and food halls solve the where-should-we-eat dilemma with something for everyone variety, a concept that has captivated Chicago diners. Revival Food Hall brings branches of neighborhood hotspots to a 1907 Daniel Burnham designed building in the downtown loop and adds a bar and DJ for more buzz. Pop in pre-theater for spicy chicken sandwiches from the Budlong, brisket from Smoke Barbecue, and sweets from Hot Chocolate Bakery. When the hall is closed on weekends, hit the Chicago French Market, home to some 30 vendors. Then we go to Pizza 2.0. Chicago is, of course, synonymous with deep dish pizza, a sturdy pie of 2-inch caloric depths that can sustain citizens in the city of the big shoulders. But Chicagoans are passionate about pizza in all its forms. And we start with the Union Full Board Bakes Square Pan Detroit-style pizza near Wrigley Field. In Ravenswood, we have Spacca, a Napoli pizzeria, waves the Italian flag for authentic Neapolitan versions tended to be certified by Pizzaiolo. And for deep dish gone truly decadent, join the line at Bequad's Pizza, where cheese addictively caramelizes the crust. Then we have the cocktail hour. Not to be outdone by inspired chefs, mixologists have raised the bar on invention. At the Aviary in the West Loop, Grant Aches applies a flight of fancy approach to drinks that send out wisps of smoke or deftly mimic flowers. An open kitchen provides a peek behind the curtain. The Violet Hour in Wicker Park won a James Beard Award for pours such as the Mezcal Spiked Per My Last Email and Rum-Based Wherever I Wander. The new bibliophile in Hyde Park gets literary with libations named after classic reads. Then we move on to the final category, what to see in Chicago, skyline to shoreline, stroll waterside paths, obsess over your architecture, and get your groove on. First of all, exterior design. When the Great Chicago Fire razed the city in 1871, rebuilding efforts focused on architectural innovation. The recently renamed Chicago Architecture Center, now housed in a Miles van der Rohe building, offers river cruises that tell the story of the city's transportation into the megalopolis of cloud-tickling skyscrapers. You can also stroll the Chicago Riverwalk to ogle the landmarks. At night, catch the latest iteration of Art on the Mart, the projection that dances across the facade of the former Chicago Merchandise Mart. Then we have Outward Bound. Sun, rain, wind, or snow, residents embrace the weather and get outside. It helps to have the 18.5-mile Chicago Lakefront Trail that connects Lincoln Park with four others to encourage cycling, running, and rambling. There are even beaches, 27 of them to be exact. If you're a volleyball buff, hit the sand at popular North Avenue Beach. Outfitters provide guided kayaking excursions on the river and stand-up paddleboarding on the lake. Every Saturday morning, birdwatchers meet on Jackson Park's wooded island to add to their life list. Then we have Pursuing POTUS. Before he became president, Barack Obama lived here, working as a community organizer, Illinois senator, and University of Chicago law professor. Now, with the imminent construction of his presidential library, the Hyde Park neighborhood near the Obama home is hot. Fans of 44 can spend the night at the new Sophie Hotel, themed to the university's cultural and academic prowess, attend a storytelling session at the community-focused Silver Room Boutique, and raise a glass to the Obama mural at the Cove Lounge. And finally, behind the music, from Chance the Rapper to the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, music sets a big-time beat in this city. Explore the scene's roots in jazz and blues with a stop at Uptown Green Mill Cocktail Lounge, a Prohibition-era speakeasy. Then join reverent audiences at the cabaret-style Winter's Jazz Club near Navy Pier, or swing by the Jazz Showcase in the South Loop, where Sunday matinees welcome all ages. Blues artists take the stage at Buddy Guy's Legends, including the Grammy Award winner himself, during annual wintertime stints. So lots of fun in Chicago. Well, make no mistake, food is a universal travel incentive. And just ask writer Nevin Martell. He's created 21 cities for foodies. This is a best list that is featured in the April-May 2019 issue of National Geographic Travel. And as his introduction states, our data-backed index of the world's most delicious destinations makes for a movable feast. Let's find out. One excellent dinner is an example. Two is a coincidence. Thousands of excellent meals is a trend. Here we present a data-driven index of the world's best cities for food lovers based on qualitative evaluations by locals and visitors alike. To create this index, we partnered with Resonance Consultancy, a global advisor on economic and tourism development. They measured the number of high-quality restaurants and culinary experiences from online channels in more than 200 cities. With the menu written, the feast commenced. We interviewed local experts to highlight edible adventures in each city on our list, from street food to haute cuisine, iconic dishes, markets, and restaurants. Eat the world one bite at a time, and let's begin. And starting with London. Get a crash course in British food culture by exploring bustling Borough Market at the south end of London Bridge. Vendors peddle everything from just-caught seafood and just-picked produce to artisanal cheeses and blue-ribbon baked goods. Be sure to sample traditional fare, such as a full English breakfast at the Regency Cafe or fish and chips at the century-old Golden Hind. Sup on contemporary cuisine at the Hand and Flowers. This is England's only Michelin two-star pub. Feeling adventurous? Well, cruise to Carousel, featuring rotating chefs and concepts. On to Tokyo for our second stop. Take a stroll down memory lane, Omoide-Yokocho, where pint-sized yakitori joints serve sizzling chicken skewers right off the grill. In the Kitsujoli neighborhood, belly up to the standing bars of Harmonica-Yokocho. Then we move on to Seoul with 5,000 vendors. Wangshang Market offers iconic dishes like sundae, blood sausage. For Korean barbecue, try local favorite Woosung Galip or the more upscale Yantabo barbecue restaurant. Then we move to Paris. The city of light dazzles with Michelin three-star stunners such as Pierre Gagnaire and Arpège, plus buzzy street markets and serious shops like the Quatre Hommes, which stocks more than 1,000 varieties of cheese. Back to the big city, or the Big Apple, it's New York. It comes in number 5 on the list, from Curry's in Manhattan's Murray Hill to Knish's in Brooklyn's Little Odessa. The boroughs offer global taste, but don't miss the Upper West Side's cash-only, attitude-heavy, absolute bagels. Then we go to Rome. Utterly epic, the Testaccio Market houses farm stands, fishmongers, and prepared foods representing all of Italy. An archetypal Roman meal? Well, Ciciano's Die 1887's Tannarelli pasta, lavished with thick oxtail sauce. So that's still available. And then we have Bangkok is number 7. Devour street food such as Tom Sap, porky sweet and sour soup, and Sam Tam, spicy green papaya salad. Then claim a seat at Nam, where chef Pem Tekamana Vivit puts a modern spin on Thai fare. Now on to Sao Paulo. Dive into the Boho Biaxo Pinheiros area to sample some of the city's hottest bars and restaurants, spanning cuisine from Asia to Europe. A nod to the immense expert community. Brazil is home to the largest Japanese population outside of Japan, which explains the authentic flavors at Izakaya Lessa and Shunshushi. For a taste of indigenous foods, ants or tongue-tingling jambu herb transformed into once-in-a-lifetime dishes. Make a beeline to Chef Alex Itala's DOM restaurant. Keep caffeinated with a stop at the Progressive Coffee Lab. Our number 9 stop is Barcelona. Check out the cheeses and olive oils under the colorful roof of Santa Catarina Market. Then indulge in the Catalan dish La Bamba, a fried ball of mashed potatoes stuffed with meat, perfect with a glass of smooth vermouth. Dubai is our next stop, and it's the 10th one on the list. No matter your cravings, you can satisfy them in this ever-evolving oasis. There's stellar seafood at the Pir Sheikh, Arabian cuisine with sword fighting at Al Hadra, and pops-up from celebrity chefs at Ultralux Enigma. Then we have Istanbul, a fish sandwich from the Eminönü neighborhood, where boats grill their fresh catch. It's a must, as are lamb skewers spiced with hot urfa pepper and sweet cubes of Turkish delight from the 240-year-old Hasi Bakur candy shop. Now to Singapore. Eschew highbrow kitchens for the food courts or hawker centers. There, Chinese, Indian, and Malay cultures intertwine to produce intense flavors such as pungent curried laksa soup and bakut teh, and that is pork ribs cooked in broth. Now on to Madrid. Bar hop through Barrio de las Letras with stops at Taberna La Dolores and La Miak. Small snacks called Pintuxos bring big flavors. Enjoy them with a gin and tonic, a cocktail Spaniards love dressing up. Then we have Shanghai on the list. In the tree-lined streets of the French concession, pop into whichever cafe strikes your fancy. Sample cuisine from across China, making sure to order the addictive Zhao Long Bao, steamed dumplings filled with broth. Then we have Osaka at number 15, Nash on Okonomiyaki, a savory pancake made with grated vegetables plus your choice of add-ins, and Takoyaki, an octopus-filled fried dough. Drink like a local at sake bars near the Namba rail stations. Then we move to Las Vegas. Top toques light up the strip from Jose Andres to Joel Rubicon. Step away from the glitz for a riot of Hawaiian food. Go for poke and spam musubi and island sushi, which helped the city earn the nickname Ninth Island. Then we have Hong Kong. Amble through Temple Street Night Market or Kowtoon's Sham Push Po neighborhood and home in on classic Cantonese, Chichong Fun rice noodle rolls with seasoned soy sauce and char siu bao buns hiding sweet pork. Then on to Berlin. Wiener schnitzel and wheat beer are just beginning. Look for hip cocktails like Geospretztes, beer with fruit soda. And then we have spicy currywurst, doner kebab, sandwiches, and jelly-filled Flankuchen donuts. Then we have Beijing on the list at 19. Peking duck claims the spotlight with a good reason, but sharing a mutton hot pot that Shushan Grill in is a more novel experience. Diners dunk paper-thin slices of mutton and vegetable into boiling broth, then sesame paste. Number 20 is Rio de Janeiro. And chill out at No Frills Boteco Bars with cold brews and savory snacks, or follow the food trucks that whip up worldly dishes. At Ouro, Chef Felipe Bronze reimagines common Brazilian fare in avant-garde creations. And our final stop, number 21, New Delhi. Pick any paratha-rich layered flatbread for an old-school experience. An immersion into modernism, Indian accent restaurant plates favorites flavors in new forms such as jackfruit and a taco of polka bread. So lots of exciting adventures there if you love food, huh? Woo! Well, writer L.A. Jackson is going to wrap up our journey on today's Armchair Traveler. And what he's going to do is take us to Land's End. That's where we discover the islands of Ireland's western Connemara. His article is from the March-April 2019 issue of AAA Go magazine. Off the western edge of Ireland's Connemara district, land gives way to the mighty Atlantic Ocean, but only begrudgingly, as there are islands dotting the coastline that continue to resist the incessant will of the waves. Three in particular, Inishbofin, Inishturk and Clare Island are inhabited, although barely, and accessible only by ferries or private boats. These out-of-the-way parts of the Emerald Isle are a step back from the complications of modern life, accentuated by the chance to explore the rugged western Irish coast. Inishbofin, just a little over 6 square miles in size, Inishbofin still seems roomy, perhaps because its population is less than 200 people. Located 5 miles off the coast of County Galway, it's distant yet inviting. It's wide open, rolling land makes Inishbofin a magnet for hikers. I took a good stretch of the legs leading west from the island's harbor, which, for history buffs, is guarded by the remains of a stone fort built on Oliver Cromwell's orders in 1656. Paved and gravel roads quickly faded into grassy paths that can be followed or not. The island's curve led me to the north shore, where the ocean's ongoing effort to take back Ireland has created a stark, beautiful landscape of steep cliffs, rocky grottos, and majestic sea arches. Inishbofin is a popular destination for day trippers, but overnight accommodations are available and certainly worth considering. I stayed at the Dunmore Hotel, which you can book at AAA.com/travel. After a day of exploring the island, it didn't take me long to find its pub, which, in addition to having a welcome range of, shall we say, imbibements, featured traditional Irish music skillfully played by locals who pleasantly persisted deep into the evening. Then we have Inishturk, rising over the Atlantic a few miles to the northeast of Inishbofin. This island, where, while smaller, still offers plenty of outdoor fun and solitude. Only about 60 hardy Irishmen call Inishturk home. As on Inishbofin, offshore fishing and scuba diving services are available, but hiking attracts many visitors to Inishturk. There are two marked trails, with the Lac Coolanec Loop being the easier. The hour-and-a-half walk took me into the sloping, sheep-dotted hills of the island's interior and out to the open spaces of the eastern shore. The mountain Common Loop to the west is about an hour longer and much steeper. On the northern side of Inishturk, in addition to enjoying stunning views from its cliffs, I reached the remains of an abandoned stone signal tower located about 700 feet above sea level, the highest point on the island. It was a station built in the early 1800s to watch for any major mischief from Napoleon's navy. Since this island is easy to enjoy, making it hard to leave after just one day, for lingerers there are B&Bs available to extend the experience. I spent a night at the Teach Abayan B&B. And finally, there's Clare Island. To the northeast of Inishturk is Clare Island, where history runs deep, as I discovered when my ferry pulled into its harbor. Overlooking the dock is a silent sentinel, the stone ghost of a castle that was once the stronghold of Ireland's famed pirate queen, Grace O'Malley, in the 16th century. A little over a mile to the west on the island's southern hiking trail, my time trek continued while I explored the well-preserved St. Bridget's Abbey, which dates back to the 12th and 13th century. Although faded, mysterious paintings of animals, warriors, dragons, and other symbols can still be seen on the ceiling. And there are other guest houses and B&Bs on Clare Island, any of which can accommodate visitors looking to further their outdoor adventures. Well, with that, as we go looking for a place to stay, we're going to say goodbye as we end today's journey on our episode of Armchair Traveler, and we hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be listening next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service and reminding you that the content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Questions and comments may be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.